Can you talk to what to do with disenchantment? And often there seems to be some confusion. Maybe you may feel you're, you know, maybe being lazy by not feeling like you want to engage with the world, or things like this. That and also adding to that, recognizing maybe a path towards being in a more healthier environment, a gradual migration towards living in more solitude or spending more time in retreats, and understanding the distinction between sort of trusting that you can actually live in the world in a different way.
Right. Yeah, I think all of that, you know, it's really just really important. Just sort of really to sort of look at it in a big picture way of okay, yeah, this is a zero sum relationship. I'm losing more than I'm getting from this world business. And but it's not sort of of discouragement, but that disenchantment is one. Okay, now if I step back, what can I engage with that is really helpful? And one of the things that comes up over and over and over again in the Buddha's teachings is good spiritual friendships. It's just so important to. Because, on our own, well, I don't know about anybody else, on my own, I don't trust myself. it's important to be surrounded by good people, surrounded by where people where you get good examples and good leadership and good encouragement and things that are really wholesome, and then the fruits, you know, come up on their own, so you're able to encourage yourself. But the you know, I think that drawing close to good people, and that's, you know, in these days. It's not necessarily just, I mean, you guys are very fortunate that you've got a place like Amaravati that is a refuge that is peaceful, and you come here and you don't necessarily even have to engage with anybody, but there's usually, you know, good encouragement just by being here. People are keeping precepts. There's a, you know, example of just the fact that it's a very large sangha, and we rely completely on people's generosity, so that that, you know, you're just drawing close to generous, kind people who are inclined to reflection and investigation and training themselves in a skillful way. So living with integrity, it's just so important to see that, and then we ourselves get motivated to manifest that ourselves, because one, you see others and you think, wow, yeah, that's really worthy of emulation. I've been around monasteries for long enough to know that there's people you come close to and you really don't want to be like them, but you have to pay attention what are the qualities that do align with Dhamma, what did the Buddha really encourage, and then realize, oh yeah, that really is something that has the possibility of bearing fruit. So it's like encouraging oneself. So the external environment, the people one lives with, and then the internal reflection and investigation, to reviewing reassessing, reestablishing our priorities. And so that you know, it works together. But I think one of the key elements is the is that association with good spiritual friendships. And of course, nowadays, it's not even absolutely necessary, or, you know, to. I mean, you have the good fortune to have a good place to that isn't far away, and I mean, where my monastery is in America, and you know, most people that are here are probably not don't live more than an hour away from here, and like an hour away from our monastery is still a long way away from the monastery. So that, so people are incredibly fortunate. It's close by, it's accessible, and but then even if one doesn't come, just with the internet, I mean, you can be listening to such good teachings. I mean, there's a lot of junk you really want to avoid, but what is available is quite amazing, both in terms of contemporary and past teachers. Like I just I just downloaded, you know, about 15 talks from into my podcast channel, talks of Ajahn Chah in Thai and in the Isan dialect, and I know that they exist, and I found them in different places. There they are, all collected in one place, and in this, you know, just in this podcast, it's just incredibly easy. And so that's what I've been listening to.
I just add to that. Did the Buddha say that noble friends was the most important element
he did.
On the path?
He did. He did. It was there's this beautiful sutta where Ananda has spent his day in seclusion, and he has this insight, and he's really fired up. He comes back to tell the Buddha his insight. He said, "Oh Lord, you know, I had this insight that, you know, half the holy life is having good spiritual friendships." And the Buddha says, "No, Ananda, is not half the holy life. It is the whole of the holy life." And so it's the Buddha put a lot of emphasis on it, and then in other places it comes up in different ways.